the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 14. You know, as we've been going through this series, for the most part, we've been looking at different characteristics, and we usually compare to, as Proverbs is a book of wisdom, we look at how to handle things wisely. And so 2 weeks ago, we considered poverty, or the poor one, and we considered that how are we to be wise in regards to the poor. Well, today is the opposite. This time, we're looking at wealth and riches. And how do we apply wisdom to wealth, or a desire of wealth? So it's whether or not you have it, or it's something you desire. And so that is our topic this evening. If you would look with me, we see our verse is found in Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 24. I don't read all of it, but it says, "The crown of the wise is their wealth," or riches. That's the King James. I forgot to correct my verse there. I correct it later on. But the crown of the wise is their wealth, or their riches. A preacher was talking to a farmer when he had asked the farmer. He goes to him and he said, "Sir, if you had $200, would you give me $100? And the farmer replied, "Yes, preacher. You know that I would give you some. But you know, preacher, I do not have $200. "Well," said the preacher, "if you had two cows, would you give me one cow?" And the man's like, "Preacher, of course I would give you a cow. But preacher, you have to know I do not even have two cows. I can't give you that." So again, the preacher, he comes to him one more time, and he said to the farmer, "If you had two pigs, would you give me one pig?" And the man said, "Come on, preacher. You know that I have two pigs." You see, when we talk about money or possessions, it starts to hit a little close to home, doesn't it? "Oh, I don't want to hear what the preacher's going to say on this one today." You know, that's we're like that. You don't have to hide it from me. I'm the same as you, all right? We're sensitive when it comes to finances. We all have an opinion on our finances, our wealth, and our money. Some Christians even believe, or seem to believe, that it's a sin to be wealthy. Others sometimes think the other way, that it's a sin to be poor. We have extremes, okay? I've met people on both sides. So, yes, they are. I've met good Christian believers on both sides. But you see, many Christians, we never take the time to really consider what does the Bible teach us about these subjects. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked on the being poor or living in poverty. Tonight, we're looking at the matter of wealth. We have a responsibility to be familiar with what does the Bible teach us about wealth? Or what does the Bible say about wealth? Consider this as Americans. Americans, now this statistics are a little old, but Americans make up roughly 5% of the known world, not a huge amount. And yet, statistics say that Americans control over 87% of the world's wealth. Even our poor, compared to most in the world, are rich. Okay, so Americans have a different perspective. Think about it this way. Americans enjoy a per capita income of over $37,000 per year. Well, taking Sierra Leone, their per capita income is $530 a year. In fact, there are over 120 countries where their per capita of income is less than $100 a week. And you see, by any standard, Americans are wealthy people. Even if we don't think we are, by the world, we are. So we need to balance this fact, where 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 tells us that the love of money, you know, this is the root of what? Evil. Now notice it's the love of money. It's not saying money is evil. Or how about in Proverbs 14:24, which we looked at, the crown of the wise is their wealth or their riches. The book of Proverbs acknowledges the fact that wealth is difficult to handle. It's why wise men learn to pray. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8 tells us, "Give me neither poverty nor riches." It was a prayer. And because they understand the difficulties of either extreme. And so the book of Proverbs, it presents this contrast between the rich and the poor, and it gives us counsel for both. So today we're looking and giving attention to the rich man. And what we'll see is that wise believers will learn to pray, "Give me neither poverty nor riches." We're first going to begin by, what does Proverbs tell us? What are the truths about the rich? Most of us, we can paint a picture of the rich. If you could describe somebody, now we're not going to say like a Donald Trump or something like that. Describe somebody, perhaps you've seen a TV show, a fictional character, if you would. Can you describe, give me a name of somebody who's like really, really rich in a fictional show? Oh, there you go. I hadn't even thought of that one. Scrooge McDuck. I like the old cartoon where he's jumping into that big thing of all those gold coins, and being the pragmatist I am, is going, dude, he would die. But anyways, it's fun, all right? So Scrooge or Scrooge McDuck. What about others? Can you think of another fictional character? Batman, oh yeah. See, I hadn't thought of those. I'm going old school, all right? I'm thinking Gilligan's Island. And I'm thinking of Thurston and Lovey Howell, all right? And then you have them next to Gilligan. It was just funny. Or the Beverly Hillbillies. And you have Milburn Drysdale. We can picture them. There's a stereotype. There's an image of the rich person. And those are the type of things that come in mind. We had Scrooge McDuck. We had Batman. Bruce Wayne, I think, is his name, all right? But we have these images of the uber wealthy. As we begin Proverbs, we discover that these stereotypes or these pictures of the wealthy isn't just in our modern media and our modern shows. It actually transcends time. Consider some of these with me. In Proverbs 18:23, we find out the rich are often rude. Often rude. Look at what it says. It says the poor use entreaties, but the rich answer roughly. They're rude. We've all seen it. Wealthy individuals can have a tendency to speak down to others and treat those with little wealth, really with little dignity. That's why it's striking when a wealthy person is noticed for being gracious and kind. Riches and courtesy often are not seen together. Secondly, not only are the rich often rude, another stereotype we see about them is the rich are often popular. Proverbs 19 and verse 4, it tells us, "Wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend." You ever wondered about that? You know, there's the story of those who win the lottery. All of a sudden, they have all these friends they haven't talked to for years and years. All of a sudden, they're right there. "Hey, we were in first grade together 35 years ago." You can often see it in missionaries. American missionaries often observe as they go to a third world country, an impoverished country, they have to be very careful. Well, why? Because they come in as an American with wealth, and all of a sudden there's a lot of people who are attracted to them and want to be friends with them. They have to be very careful. And so what we see, the rich are often rude, but they're also often very popular. And so these are truths we see. Thirdly, Proverbs tells us the rich often rule over the poor. You don't believe me? Why is it that some of the richest Americans are often in our politics? Presidents. Well, we don't need to go there. You know what I mean. Proverbs 22 and verse 7, it tells us the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. It's true, and this is all over the world. Often those with great wealth tend to be those who rule. Whether it's slave traders back in the day, this battle for equality is usually lost by those who do not have wealth, those who live in poverty. The rich tend to have an ability to make laws, to influence laws, to hire the best lawyers, to adjust the playing field. Why? Well, so that things work out in their favor. It is well for every believer to learn that while the world is always plagued by class warfare, God looks at man equally. Consider what is said just a few verses earlier in Proverbs 22, verse 2. I put 4. Let me see. I said, the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. That's either 22:4 or 22:2. It is 2. Thank you. I just put the wrong verse reference up there, but it is 2. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. You see, it's just like we find out in other passages. In Haggai 2, 8, we see that God is the rightful owner of everything. In Acts 10:34, we find that God is no respecter of persons, meaning that God looks at man equally, whether you're rich or you're poor, whether you're black or you're white, whether you're an American or from somewhere else, God looks at us the same. And so as we consider this, we've looked at these truths of the rich. Let me put them back up here just for a second. The rich are often rude. The rich are often popular, and the rich rule over the poor. And so while we've looked at these, I want us to consider then, what are some instructions that are given for the rich? It doesn't just describe what they're often like, but it also, Proverbs gives us some instructions. So let's consider some of these. The book of Proverbs clearly presents the characteristics of those who would attain riches, who desire to. While men and women search for success, yeah, there's so many self-help books, there's so many things. You can get these videos and websites that promise if you give us $20, we're going to teach you how to make a million. We look for those, don't we? Seminars. Well, here are some truths that the Bible teaches us about gaining wealth. The first we see in Proverbs 10, verse 4, we see that the rich are diligent. They are diligent. Look what Proverbs 10 and verse 4 says. It says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. And you see, there are those who inherit their wealth, okay? We understand that. Ecclesiastes tells us about that vanity. You gain all this wealth and you give it to a son who squanders it all right? There are those who gain wealth that way. But in a general nature, those who become rich, generally speaking, are those who work and those who flee from those who don't. They work hard. They are diligent workers. Many Americans, we've long forgotten what President John Kennedy said. Now, this is before my time. But what did he say? Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask rather, I think you might know this. What can you do for your country? But instead, don't we see it a little different now? It's all give me, give me, give me. I'm gonna sit around. I'm gonna take all of these programs. We expect that all the rich is gonna give all of their wealth and make everything on the same playing field, while we slack away and others work hard. But Proverbs tells us, and here's the wisdom, that those who tend to be wealthy are those who are diligent in work. They work hard. Secondly, the rich are, it says, the rich are strong. Now, hold on with me here. I'll tell you what I mean. Proverbs 11:16 says, violent men get riches. Maybe your translation says strong men get riches. I think the King James says it that way. It's a Hebrew word. I think it's pronounced aritz. This Hebrew word is found 20 times in the Old Testament. It's often translated as violent, oppress, or terrible. We see that in Job and Psalms and Isaiah. And you see, class warfare between those who have and those who do not have has been around since society began. And those who are violent, those who are strong, those who oppress others can go and take. It's the idea of a ruthless shark, okay? You can get that picture. A ruthless shark who takes the treasure of the unsuspecting. They're the ones who they're going to come and they're going to get you. And they're going to steal it all. Those who would walk with wisdom, though, should learn to live in dependence upon God for their treasures. But the truth of the matter is, you see, the rich are often hard workers. You see many who are rich that are strong or violent. I hope that would be none of us. Thirdly, the rich, though, are also described as wise in Proverbs 14:24. They are wise. Well, listen to this verse. It says, the crown of the wise is their wealth. A crown is something that is that you can picture. It's outward. It's visible. People notice it. You know who the king is because it's on their head. My son, Gavin, he's been playing chess a lot lately. And you know who the king is. How? Well, he's got that crown on his head. That's the idea. Proverbs teaches that the wealth is often an indicator of wisdom. Not always. Again, you can inherit it and be a fool with it. But often, wealth indicates somebody who is wise, at least in financial matters. Fourthly, the rich are temperate. The rich are temperate. Simply put, if you try to live high on the hog, you're going to fall off. Look what Proverbs 21, verse 17 says. Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. The lifestyles of the rich and the famous, it looks attractive, but it's actually a trap. You know, I mentioned those who win the lottery earlier, and they have all these people coming up to be their friends. An interesting thing out there, there's articles and stories all about it, is that those who often win the lottery who didn't have wealth to begin with, they often squander it because they don't know how to use it. It's parties. It's like the prodigal son. He gained all this wealth. He didn't know what to do with it, and he wasted it all. How many athletes, they invest in the wrong things, they spend it the wrong ways. That's the idea here, is spenders can become paupers. But what is it that Benjamin Franklin said? A penny saved is what? A penny earned. And so the rich are often temperate. They know how to spend. They know how to use the money. Proverbs 22, verse 4 adds, the rich are humble. Now, that doesn't seem right. I've seen a former president that it wouldn't describe him that way. But in general, the rich are humble. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 4. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Riches and honor and life. Now, at first, this statement may seem contradictory, okay? After all, we've learned that the rich, they answer roughly. The rich rule over the poor. The rich are strong and violent. How can that same person be both rude and humble? How does that work? Well, we find the answer. Remember that the book of Proverbs, it's giving a general characteristic and it's giving counsel. So it's not to say that these things are always the case with every single person or every single situation. But as a general rule, the rich are rude. But for those of the faith, those who are Christians, those who live wisely, God says humility brings wealth. Humility, it's impossible to have a teachable spirit without being humble. It's impossible to live well in partnership with others without being humble. It is impossible, thus, to be temperate without humility. That's the idea here. So it's general in nature. But that same verse here, notice, not only does it talk about humility, it also talks about the fear of the Lord. The rich are fears of God, okay? And so another one that, again, is general in nature. These riches, there are riches that you can enjoy that money cannot buy. So riches aren't always physical money. Those who fear the Lord have treasures that have an inestimable worth. I got there. We made it. A conscience that is clean, having peace that passes understanding. You have a home in heaven where the streets are made of gold. And friends, I tell you what are streets? It's just something you walk on, and saying that it's so great up there that you're walking on gold. That gold is nothing compared to everything else. And crowns to present to Jesus. These are just some of the many blessings for those who fear God. It's a rich that is beyond compare. And finally, the rich are faithful. Proverbs 28, verse 20 tells us, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Faithfulness to his employer, if you remember back in Genesis, faithfulness to his employer led Joseph to be the second in command only to Pharaoh. Daniel, he was the first among the Babylonian princes because he was faithful. The cost of a broken home will ruin many. But those who are faithful in marriage, they abound with blessings. Faithfulness is something that is often overlooked. And the rich are described here as being faithful. As we look here then, as we understand again that the love of money is the root of all evil, it should come as no surprise then that the book of Proverbs, while it gives us some truths about this, not only did it give us truths about the rich, it gave instructions for the rich. But then there's also some warnings. So I want us to look at the warnings this evening that is given to the rich. There are those who live to be rich. That's their whole life goal, and they actually find no profit in it. And Jesus had told the story of the man who remember, he built these barns, and he filled them, and he said, I'll tear them down, and I'll build more barns. And filled them. He said, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't that what we hear that people want to do? It's like the good old country songs. You want to go and put your feet in the sand and sit back and just, that's it, I'm done. Eat, drink, and be merry. Sadly, the wealthy farmer, what? He didn't know that God, what God would call him. What did God call him? He called him a fool. He said, you're a fool. And he took his soul that very night. You know, those who would say money talks, God says goodbye. He says that's foolish. And so here, listen to some of these warnings. The first one we see, Proverbs 11:4 tells us, riches bring no profit in judgment. Riches bring no profit in judgment. Proverbs 11:4 says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath. Meaning it's going to buy you nothing. You're going to pass away, and in that grave, they could put all your money in and it will do you nothing. It's no good. God is no respecter of persons, Romans 2:11. Those who maybe perhaps their whole life, they've used their money to get what they want, to bribe people, to get things to pass their way and in their favor. And guess what? It's not going to matter, because only one thing matters on that day of judgment. And that's the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's what matters. In the truth, the more we have on earth, it's the more we stand to lose in eternity. Luke 12:48 says, unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. Riches bring no profit in judgment. Riches gained without labor will vanish. They'll go away. Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Again, I've already told you about the lottery, how quickly they lose it. How quickly those who came from, maybe they were poor and they make it rich in sports or in Hollywood, and how quickly they waste it all away. I'm always thinking of Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage, he bought islands. He bought all kinds of weird stuff. He spent all of his money because we waste it. It'll vanish. It's gone quickly. Thirdly, riches tend to make a person feel secure. Proverbs 18:11 tells us, a rich man's wealth is his strong city and like a high wall in his imagination. I believe that I like the King James. Instead of imagination, it says conceit. Like a high wall in his conceit. I think you can understand that a little more. Unfortunately, you know, if somebody has put all of their security in money, well, if they lose it all, or what happens when they come with depression and suicidal thoughts, where does that wealth help them? The thing is that many people who have suffered the loss of great wealth actually have taken their own lives. They lose their friends. They lose so much. When we put our security in money, we stand to lose everything. Instead, as we'd see in Deuteronomy 33 or Philippians 4:19, there is only one source of real security, friends, and that's God. He is the one who keeps us. He's the one we rely on. And so, as we go back, let me pause and look at the first three again. Riches bring no profit in judgment. Riches gained without labor will vanish. And riches tend to make a person feel secure. I have three more on another screen, so I gave you just a moment to get that if you had missed it. Number four, riches may be temporary. Riches may be temporary. Proverbs 23:4-5. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Proverbs 27:24 would add, for riches are not forever. There are so many variables that are working against you that there is no lasting promise of wealth. It could be gone. Moths and rust will come in and steal it. It tells us in Matthew 6:19. The Great Depression can tell you can lose it all. Our housing bubble. I've known people who they invested so much in housing down in Florida, and then the market crashed, and they owed more on their house than their house was worth. It was a hard situation. The market's changing, and all of a sudden, when you were doing good, and now you're not doing so good when the markets have changed. You see how quickly you can lose it all. How quickly your situation of wealth can be gone. Well, Matthew 6:20, if we would look at it, would inform us that really what matters, the only vault we really have to invest in, is riches in heaven. That's where we invest. That is what is the most important, because riches may be temporary. You can quickly lose it all. Fourthly, riches found quickly tend to be riches that are found wrongly. Proverbs 28:20. Whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. The idea there is like a salesman who kind of fudges the truth a little bit. Oh yeah, nothing ever happened to that vehicle. Oh yeah, that's exactly, they cut corners. Businessmen who cut corners and all of a sudden everything comes crashing down. Construction workers who cheat the contract a little bit, or con artists who They play up on your emotions. What do they all have in common? It's greed. A quick way to make a little extra money, and how often it comes back against them. They found that wrongly. And so we are to beware of the temptation to get rich quick. There is that temptation to cheat, to cut corners. And fifthly, riches. Sixthly. Riches as an end in themselves tell a lot about oneself. Proverbs 28:22 tells us, a man whose eye is evil hastens after wealth. A man whose eye is evil hastens after wealth. Hey, you remember what Satan did to Jesus when he tempted him? Where did he take him, church? He took him up to the pinnacle, right? And he's tempting them. What did he tempt him with? Now, there's three ways he tempted him, but one of them is speaking of like wealth or a lot. What did he tempt him with? Can you picture? He had him look out over everywhere. He said, look at all of this. It's all yours. He's saying, I'm going to give you everything this world has to offer. That's what Satan tried to tempt Jesus with. Do you think he would try that with us? I think he would. Look what you can have. Look what out there for you. Versus Jesus' eye was not on all of that. His eye was unpleasing. His Father was pleasing God. You see, by his example, Jesus taught us that our focus is not to be on gaining wealth. There's nothing wrong with it, but that's not your heart. That's not your focus. Your focus should be on pleasing God. That should be the first priority. Those who forget God, as they focus on getting rich, again, they ultimately they'll lose. And so as we finish tonight, I want us to look then. Here's the conclusion. The Proverbs tells us that there are things that are far better than financial wealth, than riches. Think of these ones with me. Here are some three things we see in Proverbs that are better than these riches. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. What's better than riches? God's blessing in our lives. That's so much better. God blessing your marriage, God blessing your family, God blessing your walk, God blessing your ministry. It doesn't have to be riches. That's a rich, it is rich on in and of itself. Secondly, a good name is to be chose rather than great riches. Your name is more important. Your testimony, what people think about you, is more important than being greatly rich. And thirdly, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. Your integrity is more important than riches. D.L. Moody, perhaps you've heard of the name D.L. Moody. He left his home in Northfield, an impoverished home in Northfield, Massachusetts. He had one goal in mind. He wanted to be very, very rich. That was his goal. It wasn't, though, until he left his occupation and that he put God first when he said he found true riches. Or how about William Borden? It's a biography that I've referenced many times. I know his story. I have his biography sitting on my bookshelf. I bought it recently when Jason and I were down in Atlanta. I'm looking forward to reading it soon. William Borden, though, he left Yale. He left millions of his family fortune to follow God because he said it is worth it. It is more important to follow God. Nobody knows how rich Saul or Paul was. We don't know how rich he was. But we know about Barnabas. It tells us in Acts 4:36 and 37 that on the island of Crete, he had fields there that he sold and gave to the church. He sold his wealth to follow God. But what inspired these type of people to give up so much? It's because they followed the one who was rich and became poor for our sake. Jesus, who left the riches of heaven, riches beyond compare, and came down to be poor like us to die on that cross. You see, riches are certainly, they're not wrong, But riches can be used wrongly, and riches could be a snare for evil. That's why we should understand, as we began, the crown of the wise is their wealth. Friends, I hope this has been a help for you. If you happen to have riches, great. Be wise with it. Serve the Lord with what He has given you. Let us pray. Lord, thank You so much. Thank You for this reminder, Lord, in our own lives, that how to use what You have given to us for Your glory. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you would with me, I want to look at our prayer sheet.